solitude, listening to the radio, hearing tales of creatures and monsters, and visits from UFOs. You see a shadow cross your room, hear strange crying in the night. Your mind goes into hyperdrive when things go bump in the night. Your inner realm of imagery, of light and mind and sound. Surrounded by twilight and ether, the eeriness gives you insight. How the world can be a scary place when things go bump in the night. Tight, or a story you read while lying in bed that gave you a major fright. There are many things in heaven and earth that change your perception's light, and will try to ensnare, make you very aware as things go bump in the night. On the night with Night Dreams Talk Radio with Gary Anderson. The views, opinions, and representations expressed on the Night Dreams Talk Radio Network and its website are those of the hosts, guests, and participants, and are not necessarily those of or endorsed by the network, its affiliated stations and broadcasts, the management, other hosts, or advertisers of the network. The shows found on the Night Dreams Talk Radio Network can, but do not necessarily, promote any particular lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practice. These shows are for entertainment purposes only, and are not intended to treat, diagnose, and or claim any cure of disease or condition, or give any medical or legal advice. Coming to you from some far point station, like a cosmic tumbleweed, both north and south of the Pleiades, here's your host, Gary Anderson.
Well, good evening, good morning, depending on your time zone. I hope you're having a great week. We're replacing our deck on our house down at the compound. I'll tell you what, we started out with only thinking we're going to do just a little teeny bit of the deck. Well, at this point now, it's three-fourths of the deck. Now, the deck, we got a 3,000-square-foot upper level and a 3,000-square-feet lower level. And this deck goes around three-fourths the way around the house. So, you know, this project, I thought it was going to be really cheap to do, is now in the thousands and thousands of dollars. Have you priced lumber? It is ridiculously still high. And I can see why people weren't building homes here for the last 8-9 months, because a 2x4 or a 4x6 was like up to $30 for a 12-footer at one point. Totally crazy. Well, in, I hate to say it, Australia, the virus is still going crazy, and now they're going one step farther. They're killing dogs because they're worried that the dogs can spread the virus to humans. So they're going through all the dog shelters and killing the dogs. And what really upset me is they're not doing it Well, like we do here, they're not being gentle with the killing of the dogs. They're just literally shooting them with a gun. That really upset me because I'm a dog lover. I mean, we got two Great Danes, a German Shepherd. I've had dogs ever since I was a kid. I mean, and just to hear that is really upsetting. What do you think about that, James? They're actually shooting dogs in Australia.
Oh, that's just horrible. I'm like you. I've had dogs, too, all my life, and it's just heartbreaking. It just is. I don't know what mindset that made them want to do that, but it's crazy.
Well, they're worried about the virus jumping from animals. But what is it going to be, cats next, parrots? Well, I don't know. It just came to a shock when I read that in the news. Well, the Congress, they passed the big bill here today. I was kind of shocked that it passed, but they managed to get enough and muster enough votes to pass it. What's that mean to you? I don't know. But they're now saying, a couple congressmen and a couple senators are saying, you better go out and buy what you need now, because everything is going to be in a short supply in the next couple months. We're talking, big screen TVs, computers, all that stuff is going to drastically go up in price as we go into inflation. Hopefully we don't go into super inflation. That's what I'm really worried about. What do you think about that one, James?
Well, I think I better get a wheelbarrow because, like you, we talked before on this show, a dollar, like the yen, you need a whole wheelbarrow of them just to equal a buck. So that's, scary.
You know, the very first job I got paid $2.50 an hour. That was it. Wow. And then when I went to the military, it was like a couple hundred bucks. I mean, things have really changed. When I was a kid, you could go out and buy ice cream bars for 5 cents. You could buy candy bars for 3 cents. You could get a giant bottle of soda for 19 cents. I mean, a name brand soda. And generic soda was like less than a dime. You could get hamburgers for 15 cents. What is going on here? I mean, is our money devouring faster than we can even comprehend? The younger people don't realize it. They I need $20 an hour. I need $30 an hour to survive. Well, you do. You really do. I remember my father made only a couple hundred dollars a week as electronic engineer when I was a kid. I don't know. It's going to get scary here. We're all ready, I guess, to go for a real ride. Well, James, who's our guest tonight, and what are we going to be talking about?
Well, our guest tonight is a Mr. Rob Shelsky. Now, Rob is a writer of both fiction and nonfiction. He also has a degree in science. Now, he has also been a boots-on-the-ground researcher for the subjects of paranormal, UFOs, and our subject tonight, time travel.
Well, I sure would like to go back in time. Well, Rob, how about you? Would you like to go back in time?
I'd like to go into the future. I've already done the past.
Well, could you? Yeah, but I would like to go back in the past and be the one person to change the past, for it changes the future. I don't know. Do you know what I'm scared of? If you go too far in the future, you might be going to nothing.
Well, if you go too far into the past, you might have the same problem. Some scientists say that if you could go back in the past, you'd end up in deep space because the Earth wouldn't be there. There's not necessarily a change in location, just in time. And if you go back, say, 500 years, you'd be where the Earth was 500 years ago, but the Earth isn't there now, or wouldn't be there when you got there. Don't know if that's true. By the way, I wouldn't mind going into the past, actually. I would love to be a time travel tourist. Wouldn't you love to see Rome at its height, or Byzantium at its peak, or just be able to see things like Alexandria when it was at its height? I would love to just be a tourist in time.
I would. I like to see how the pyramids were built, wouldn't you?
I'd like to see them when they're at their best, when they're all covered with that white limestone and capped with gold, and they gleam so bright that did you know in Arabic, the word that they use for the pyramids meant like luminous or light, because they were so brilliant you couldn't look directly at them.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to go back in time. I mean, there's a lot of things I would like to change. The political system, the financial system. And you know what? I hate how society has gone. You're pretty close to my age. When I was a kid, wasn't that more relaxed back in the early 60s and the 50s?
Yes, it was. And it was also much more free. And I'm not just saying that because, oh, for the good old days. I mean, when we were kids, we were allowed to get away with a lot more than kids today are. Nowadays, kids are being arrested and charged with crimes at the age of 5 and 6 years old. We used to do stuff all the time that by today's standards would be against the law or maybe even criminal. And it was even better in my parents' times. I remember my father saying on Halloween, they rolled a log out in the middle of the road at the top of a hill on a lonely country road. And the cops would, the cars would have to slam on their brakes and screech to a halt. And this one man get out of the car with a flashlight when looking for my father and his friends. They were just kids at the time and they were hiding in the woods. He was saying, I know you kids are in there. I'm going to find you. Well, that's just a funny story. But nowadays, that would be considered a criminal offense.
And you don't know if somebody's packing a weapon, too, and then pulls it out and kills you. That
exactly. Is... That's something we didn't have. Well, I mean, I'm not saying that it was the perfect world, but I never once heard of a mass murder in any school. No school shootings at all the whole time I was growing up, not only here, but in Australia as well.
I know. What do you think about in Australia, especially around Sydney? They're gathering up dogs and killing them because they're really worried about them spreading.
Who exactly is doing this? This is actually the first I've heard of it, and I'm an Australian citizen.
Yeah, it's in the news today.
I had not heard that. That just sounds wrong to me. I know they have a plague of cats over there, and they've gone wild, and they get quite large. And I know that they've had a bounty on those to try to get rid of them because it's really upsetting the ecosystem. But I haven't heard a thing about these dogs. That just sounds terrible, too.
Yeah, they were going even in the shelters. And, euthanizing them with a bullet.
And this was the government?
Yeah, Sydney. And because I guess they're so worried about the virus spreading from animals to humans. I haven't heard anything yet from, you know, dogs spreading the virus to humans. Have you?
I've heard that here in the United States, there were a couple cases where the animals did have it. They weren't sick from it, but they did have it. But they were in households where the people had it, and it's more likely the people gave it to the animals than the other way around.
That's what I would think.
Geez, I don't know. I was thinking about visiting Australia. I may be changing my mind about that.
That's one place I've never been. You know, I've been to Canada a lot because my mom had a dual citizenship. She was Canadian. And, I love Canada. I'd never been to Australia. You know, the only places I ever been was Vietnam and United States. That's probably about everything. I flew over a whole bunch of different countries. Does that count?
No, not really. I lived in Australia as a kid for several years, but I am an American citizen as well. I still love Australia. It's just that it's so far from anywhere else that living there kind of would be a problem for me. I mean, I'd feel so isolated. The only places nearby are Asia and Indonesia, and I've never been particularly fascinated by the Asian countries simply because I always see them, and this is probably a stereotype, as being heavily overly populated. I picture high-rise buildings everywhere and teeming masses of people streaming up and down the streets. It's kind of how they always show Tokyo or Beijing or places like that. And I'm a more of a country kind of guy.
What I don't like about, where the location is, Australia, is, China. Because China's been flexed their muscles everywhere. And, they've been threatening Australia a lot lately.
Oh, they're like the sort of Damocles hanging right over the head of Australia, almost literally, because they're just due north of Australia. And Australia is terribly underpopulated, and China's terribly overpopulated. Not a good, symbiosis going on there.
It's not. But anyway, moving along, we had Michio Kaku on the show here recently, and we were talking about, portals and time travel and all kinds of different things. They're very close to cracking the fifth dimension. And according to Michio Kaku, if they crack that fifth dimension where it becomes realistic, well, portals would be opening. We would be able to find them. Going into a parallel universe would exist. And would that affect time travel? What do you think?
Well, Einstein doesn't rule it out with either his general or special relativity theory. So And you know, Einstein, he never seems to be wrong. Everything he's theorized seems to have come to pass, including black holes. So I think there's a good possibility of that. And the weird part is it doesn't matter when the time machine is invented, because once you invent it, it's not like other machines where it only exists from that point forward. You can use it to go to anywhere in the past. So you could invent a time machine 3 billion years in the future, and they could still be interfering with us now. And, you know, I think they are, actually.
It could be. Now, according, and maybe I got this wrong with Michio Kaku, but if you go back in time, for example, and you kill your father, well, then there's going to be another father created as soon as you kill the father. Have you heard that theory?
There's going to be another father created?
Yes. If you went back in time and killed your father, it would create a new father. It would create another parallel universe.
Oh, yes. Well, what it would do is, if you go back into the past that way, this is based on the quantum theory idea of time travel, and a lot of quantum scientists think that this is the only way that you could logically time travel without getting into paradoxes and loops. But if you went back into the past and shot your grandfather, you have created a new universe in the universe you're in right there. But then when you went back to the universe, to the future, you would be in your own universe where your grandfather was never killed. In other words, you created a branch off in time of a parallel universe without the you being in it because you killed your own grandfather, but your universe would still be intact. Any changes you made would initiate a new universe, cause a branching effect.
What do you think the odds are that actually being realistic?
I think it's quite realistic. I mean, there are several major theories in cosmology with regard to the Big Bang and string theory, the theory of everything for the universe, and they both require parallel worlds, lots of them. In fact, with the Big Bang, it would be an infinity. So that allows a lot of possibilities for the creation of other universes. That in quantum theory is also a lot of researchers now are thinking that's how it works too. Every time a decision is made, whether you decide to go to bed or stay up at any given moment, whether you go to the store or not, whether an atom decides to split or not, every time a decision is made, there's another branching universe where the opposite decision was made.
Boy, that is really heavy when you think about that. I mean, even like death, when you die, do you actually really die or do you go into a split into another parallel universe and continue on?
Well, now you're talking about my latest book where I discuss the quantum theory of immortality, and there is a very good chance that that is exactly what happens, that every time a decision is made that you would go on living, because think about it, you're taking your last breath in this timeline, and then you gasp, excuse me, and everyone around the bed looks at you and says, he's passed. But for you, the minute you did that, a decision was made whether you're going to live or whether you're going to die. But you are only conscious in the timeline where you didn't die. So when the universe branches, you have no recollection of having taken your last breath. For you, you just went right on breathing. And there's people still around you with you. And so you're still alive. And that's the idea behind quantum immortality. Pretty basic, but that's pretty much the gist of it.
I know, but you know, when you think about that, Rob, you continue on, but are you really continuing on? Because everything you've learned, every experience you have had from birth is not going to be there, is it?
Yeah, actually it would. When the universe branches, your identical other half of you remembers everything you remember, right up to that last second when you died in this universe. Now remember, the consciousness needs continuity. So the minute you stop in this timeline, you're branching off into a timeline where you didn't stop. So for you, it's an uninterrupted existence. You remember everything. It is you. It is you, and you have no recollection of having died.
Interesting. So I'm going to be stuck with all those bills on credit cards I rung up.
Yes, you are. Maybe not in this universe, but the parallel one.
That doesn't seem right.
There's two good movies on that very topic, and one is called The Discovery, stars Robert Redford, and another one is Source Code, which is very similar. And these are both good movies. They're fun to watch. Source Code is high action drama. It's a thriller, and it's based on the same principle. And if you haven't seen it, I advise seeing it. It's number one, it's a good movie, and number two, it's food for thought.
Well, you remember the original time travel movie with Rod Taylor?
Oh, I loved it. Time Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it.
I mean, that's what got me intrigued when I was a younger person. You know, time travel. Is it real? Is it possible?
That movie had such an effect on me. I can still remember the lines from the first talking ring that he spun to learn about the past and what had happened all those years he had skipped to go into the future. And I can recite them verbatim. So that's how much I loved that movie.
Well, remember the girl he fell in love with?
Weena.
Yeah,
Weena.
That is has to be one of the longest long-term relationships.
Well, I would say you could call it long-term or long distance.
Both of them, actually. Which. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole thing about time is it's so wrapped up with space that, you know, they've coined the term space-time because gravity wells affect time. And the greater the gravity well, the more time is distorted. And it can be distorted to the point where it actually forms a loop. And so there are, loops are possible, theoretically, mathematically, in this universe. You go around a black hole close enough to the event horizon, and you can actually be so close that time is bent so thoroughly that you get stuck in a loop. And that loop goes on for eternity.
Oh, could you imagine being in that loop with your mother-in-law?
Or your wife or husband, depending on who and how they are to you.
Yeah, that too. Could you imagine that if you weren't getting along with your wife and, you know, she had that hair thing over, you know, hairnet and yelling at you all the time.
And a voice that shatters glass, right?
Yeah, could you imagine having a time loop over and over again? That would be worse than living hell, you know that.
And you couldn't even commit suicide because you can't disrupt the timeline. You just go through it over and over. The only good news is you would not realize you're doing it over and over for eternity.
You sure that isn't hell?
No, because if you knew it and were condemned to repeat it forever, that would be hell, knowing that you'd have to face this for eternity. But in a time loop, you don't know because it resets all the time and you have no recollection of the prior loops through that through the time loop. It's so that's probably a good thing. I mean, if you're going to be in hell, maybe you should just be in it for, in your mind, the one time. But it's a spooky. When you deal with time, all sorts of weird things happen. Time slips, glitches, you name it. It all seems to happen. And I think there's an incredible amount of evidence for the idea of time travel and for the idea that time seems to have its problems.
I think so, because, you know, I had a guest on recently. You know, he wrote a book on time slips, you know, and this is going back. Oh, I remember one of my kids now, he's 29. He was probably 13 or 14 years old. We went up to Mount Rainier and we were driving, you know, the back way, the scenic way, the area I used to go with my parents and grandparents when I was a little kid. And there was a big sign on the side of the road, hamburgers and fries, $1. And it was this rundown cafe, and we pull into it. And this is a true story. I don't care if you believe it or not, people. It's true. We go in there, and everybody is dressed like in the early 60s. You know, the button-up dresses and the designs and everything. It just felt like we walked into the 60s. Now, this was the early 80s, okay, or mid-80s. And I'm looking at this. And I'm going, this is really strange. There's a bunch of people in here that look like they're, you know, from the past. And we order our food. And it was a huge hamburger, that I remember. And the fries. Fantastic food. We ate. We left. And, you know, a couple weeks later, we decided, you know, hey, let's go for a ride again because I love taking pictures. And it's really scenic around Mount Rainier with all the creeks and rivers and waterfalls. And we decided we're going to go to the same restaurant again because my kids, hey, let's get that dollar hamburger again. That was good. So we're driving down the road and I go down the road. I don't see the cafe. So I turn around and go back a few miles and go up again. And I'm telling everybody, look for the cafe. We didn't see it. We do it like maybe another one or two times, looking really hard. We saw where an old building was at one point. It looked like it burnt down. And I stopped at this little convenience gas station store. And I said, hey, a couple of weeks ago, we stopped at this cafe. And it was on the right side going towards Mount Rainier. And they kind of stared at us. And they said, a couple of weeks ago? I said, yeah, a couple of weeks ago. Well, that burnt down years ago.
Well, that's creepy. And by the way, that sounds exactly like a story that I came across.
Well, let's hear it.
It was four people traveling. They were from Britain. They decided to travel in Europe and drive through France down to the south and the north. This was October 20th, 1969. And they were traveling along, and it was getting late, and they came to this town or village, and they noticed there were a lot of pictures about a circus coming to town. And they thought that was a bit strange because circuses have died out in Britain as they have here. And I'm sorry, it wasn't 1969, it was 1989, I believe. And they just kept on driving, and they finally came to an old-fashioned looking inn on the side of the road. So they decided to spend the night there. And they went in, and it was quite old-fashioned. The phone was old-fashioned. But this is, you know, rural France, and they figured maybe they just hadn't updated things. So they went and they ate, and they found out that the prices on the meals were extremely low. And then they had a nice stay in the room. And then the next morning, while they were having breakfast, a couple of French policemen came in, gendarmes, and they were wearing the capes and the hats. And they were surprised to see this because they had stopped wearing those that uniform a long time back, as far as they knew. So anyway, they went on their merry way, went to the south of France, had a good time. Now, on their way back, they thought, well, let's stay at that inn again because it was really nice and it was really cheap. Why don't we go there? So they went to the town, the same town, same road, and all the circus signs were gone. And they thought, well, maybe the circus had moved on. And then they drove along the road, excuse me, and they couldn't find the inn, just like you couldn't find that cafe. And so they drove back, and they drove forth again, and then they tried other roads, and they were sure they knew the right road, and they were sure, and it wasn't there. So finally, they went back to town, and they asked someone, and they said, oh, that place is long gone. That place closed down not long after World War II. Oh, so it's almost the same story as you've just told.
Yeah. Well, haven't you in your life ever ran across something like a time slip or something weird?
The only thing I've had are extreme moments of deja vu where I've had a number in a row. But I'm not sure if that's a time slip. I walked into a mansion in Virginia City one time on a tour, first time I'd ever been to Virginia City, I know for a fact. And I walked in, and there was a staircase right at the front hallway leading upstairs, and there was a corridor to the left of it that you could walk past the staircase. And I remember saying to the tour guide, I said, excuse me, is there a bathroom down the end of this corridor to the left? And she goes, yes, how did you know? Have you been here before? I said, no, I haven't. And we were about to go into a parlor, and I said, I was with my father. And I said, you know, I think that it's going to have violet wallpaper, little violets on the wall. And we walked in, and it did. And I had the strongest, overwhelming sense of deja vu. Now, is that a time slip or not? I don't know, but that's what I had.
That is interesting. Now, James, jump in here. Have you ever had anything like a time slip or anything in your entire life? Because I know you're into the paranormal heavy.
Actually, there was one thing that happened to me about 4 or 5 years ago. Riding my bicycle behind an alley, broad daylight. I'm just going along real slow. And it was like I hit an invisible curb or wall, and I went head over, and the bike I was riding was an old bicycle, had, you know, didn't have front brakes, had the old kind when you had to push the pedal back, so it wasn't front brakes. I didn't have use no brakes. So riding along, next thing you know, I went flying heads over, like I hit an invisible wall, the bike stopped, I went flying, and I actually felt like I hit something. I got up, and I gotta tell you, that spooked you know what out of me. I was that really spooked me. I still think about that to this day. It really shook me up.
Well, maybe you did hit a portal or something. What do you think, Rob? Something like that.
Well, I think it can happen. I think it happens a lot more often than people realize. And if you don't believe something strongly enough, then you will find any other rationale for what happened. If it's UFOs and you absolutely are against the idea of UFOs, well, it's swamp gas or something like that, something ridiculous often. And I think the same with time. People try to interpret it in a lot of different ways, but time slips seem to be very common. And by the way, they seem to be associated quite often with certain regions or areas. In England, in Liverpool, for instance, there's a street, Bold Street, and a couple side streets near it. And they've had a number of reported incidents on those, where people seem to slip back into the past and they see the street as it was 30, 40 years earlier. And again, the people are dressed old-fashioned and the traffic's not nearly as heavy and all this sort of thing is going on. And then all of a sudden, everything's back to normal and they can't figure out quite why it happened. And this has happened to a number of people. And do remember this French, that was two couples, and they even took photos. Now, the photos, oddly enough, did not turn out. But they are adamant, and they've signed statements that they were there. And so that hotel, which existed in the late 1800s, was gone by the time they were there. So where did they sleep? Where were they staying? Why did four people who corroborate each other say that this happened to them? Why do these people who walk the streets of Bold, the blocks of Bold Street, say that they suddenly were back in a past time? And by the way, it's not usually the future. It's usually the past. Now, that's an oddity, too.
It is. We got to take a break, Rob. We'll be back with Rob in about 2 minutes. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio. If you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, please subscribe. We're trying to build up the subscribers on it. Also, check out our website. We updated it today at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Bring on the night with Night Dreams Talk Radio with Gary Anderson.
What we are asking for from the government is full disclosure.
That rings true. Ancient cave dwellers drew spacecraft on a pulse. It's a recurring theme. I've seen the same thing while walking late at night, and I know it's not hay.
This is Tom Davis with Metatron Power and Light. Our songs are inspired by our own experiences and the stories of people we've met. We know what we've seen and we know the truth. We are not alone.
What's unusual about Metatron Power and Light as a band is we share the same beliefs. We've all had similar experiences, and together through music, we can explore the kinds of subjects that haven't been presented in exactly this way before.
From Malmstrom to Manat.
We want everyone to know that what you're going through, we're going through. When you're being told one thing and seeing another, we're here with you. Music brings people together, and together we're strong.
From the compound in beautiful Gig Harbor, Washington, Night Dreams Talk Radio presents your host, Gary Anderson.
That is me. Well, I'm going to ask everybody that's listening to send some love to Tom from Metatron Power and Light. He's a good friend of mine. They've been very supportive to our show with their bumper music. He just lost his wife the other day, and he needs some love. If you can send out some emotional love to him right now, that would be really beneficial because he is really hurting. We're back with you, Rob. How about, you know, the people that go back in time and maybe they get trapped in that time zone? Is that possible? Are you there? Hey, Rob, are you there? James, I think we lost him.
Yeah, maybe the Skype's acting up tonight. That's strange. I hope he didn't fall in a time loop.
Well, that's possible.
No, I'm here. I could hear you guys, but for some reason, when I talked, you didn't hear me. But then all of a sudden, there you are.
Well, maybe you fell into a time warp or a portal for a few minutes, and you just came back. But how about the people that go back in the time? Because there's so many people missing, right? In our country, worldwide, it vanished, and maybe it's ETs doing it. Is it possible they could be walking into a portal, going back in time or
wherever?
Well,
they're walking into something or flying into something or driving into something. But before we get into that, there is one story that dates quite a ways back where people did seem to go into the future temporarily. And since it kind of runs counter to what most people experience about going back in time, I thought you might like to hear that one.
Yeah, well, let's hear it.
Okay, well, there was a J. Bernard Hutton and his associate, Joaquin Brandt. This was in 1932. They were sent on a mission to go to Hamburg, where the port there had been retooled, and they were to take a real workup on it, photos, interview people, the whole bit. Now, remember, this is 1932. Hitler didn't even come to power until 1933. So we're talking about before there was any military buildup in Germany. And so they went, and they started taking pictures and things. And then while they were there, a whole fleet, what would it be, a squadron? What do you call a bunch of airplanes? Fleet? Squadron? I don't know.
A squadron.
But what is it?
Squadron.
Squadron. Okay, so a huge squadron of planes suddenly came overhead. Well, they were outside, and they paused to look at it because they couldn't figure out whose planes these were. They didn't sound familiar. In those days, you could tell a plane by its sound, apparently. So they were staring up at it, as were several officials at the Hamburg dockyards, and they were no one could figure out where they had come from because the Luftwaffe of Hitler didn't exist yet, and Germany simply didn't have anywhere near that number of planes, and neither did England for that matter. So who had these planes? So they're all staring at it, and all of a sudden bombs started falling. Machinery shattered, buildings blew up, sheets of flame went everywhere, and they fled. And then the guy they were with said, get out of here, get to the main gate. So they were snapping pictures. They got in the car and they were racing towards the main gate to get out from the area that was being devastated. And they were snapping pictures as they went. And then when they got back to England, as seems to be the case, the pictures didn't turn out. And they told the story to their editor, both men. And he decided that he was the victim of a practical joke or that they had been intoxicated at the time, dismissed it. They were adamant that it actually happened. On top of that, years later, Hutton chanced upon a London newspaper, and in it was an account of a bombing raid on the Hamburg shipyard, and it showed some photos, and it was exactly what he and Brandt had seen. And he can't account for that. So we're talking something they saw in 1932 that didn't occur until about 1941, 42, probably.
Very interesting. That's the only thing that really, you know, when you go into a time slip, like I was mentioning, you know, how many people don't come back or stuck in that time area? That
well,
would be really
that's
scary.
That's the scary part. That case of the man in England, well documented, taking a bet to take a run that he could run at a certain time and speed to a distant place. And then the other people followed him. This was back, I think, in the 18th century. And they followed him in the car because they didn't quite trust him. This was a bet and there was money involved. So they were right behind him. He was running down the road ahead of them. Suddenly he gave a shout and pitched forward and disappeared. And this has been corroborated by countless witnesses. Police got involved, constables. They searched for him. They checked. They looked from everywhere. England's not a big place. He never appeared again. And you might just say he wanted to disappear, except that he fell right in front of them and just simply faded from view. And he was never seen again. Now, where did he go? To a parallel universe? To another time? That's what we don't know. It's like a two-way phone call, and we're on one end of the phone call. And we don't know what's happening on the other end. It could have ended up in the future, end up in deep space. According to quantum mechanics, it's quite possible that you could suddenly pop out into deep space or another place on Earth. And there was a case of that, too. there was a guard down in, I believe it was Mexico, who ended up, when he was just suddenly appeared in the court or right outside the court in Spain. And he was still dressed in his uniform, and they didn't believe him, but they saw his uniform, and eventually they allowed him to go back home, board a ship and go back home. But he has no idea of how he got there. He just was one place one minute and another the next. Now, whether or not it was the same time frame, nobody knows. The details aren't specific, but they do give his name. So these things happen a lot, and I'm afraid that the universe isn't quite what we think it should be. In fact, the only thing that may give it reality is our own consciousness, in which case, if you see something differently, then perhaps things could happen differently. I'm not sure. But there's one theory that the universe is just probability waves, and that from instant to instant, they solidify into reality as we know it. And this is what gives us the impression of time, that it doesn't actually exist. It's merely the materialization of each probability wave from instant to instant that gives us the feeling that time is passing.
Well, you know, Rob, a lot of scientists are starting to say maybe we're a hologram, or maybe we're some type of a program that's running in some alien computer, that we're not really physically here.
Well, it could be that we are a simulation, in which case we are just pure energy that is masquerading as matter. And by the way, we are. Our bodies are made up of subatomic particles, which are, according to string theory, just closed loops of energy, which means that we're nothing but energy. So we fit the bill for a simulation pretty darn well. By the same token, I mean, this just may be the nature of reality. The fact that this is a holographic universe, they're beginning to think more and more that it just might be a holographic universe, that it is a two-dimensional sphere that we are smeared on, the external surface of it, and that this universe is projected inward from that outer shell. And that's what gives us the illusion of three-dimensionality. But really, it's a two-dimensional universe, in which case there would have to be glitches, because no three-dimensional representation based on a two-dimensional source can be absolutely perfect, and there would be glitches. And what we're talking about tonight might very well be those glitches.
Well, you know, hey, James, jump in here. You, Ed McMahon, why don't you tell that story, James? You're really into that one.
Yeah, that's the one that really sets me back, the old Mandela effect. One of my theories is either our government or somebody, whoever is using time travel, I think it's one of the byproducts or fallout from it. But yeah, back in the early 80s, anyway, we had a Monopoly tournament. And you had to win best of seven, best of seven. This went on for quite some time. And I would always keep a eyepiece in my shirt pocket. And I would bust balls with it. So I end up winning this tournament. And at the end, I pulled out this eye barnacle, whatever they call it there. And I'd put it on and bust balls because I won. I was rubbing it in. Now, you fast forward, supposedly – he's never had an eyepiece. I even used to collect Monopoly games, old ones, and it would be on there. But supposedly this never happened. And I actually lived it, had it, used it. But now they're telling me it never happened. That just freaks me out. That one in the Ed McMahon, which I can remember plain as day, going to people's houses with balloons and knocking on doors with checks.
Well, yeah, I remember it. But then if you do internet search, you can't find anything on it. Have you ever heard about that one, Rob, about Ed McMahon going around and saying, hey, you just won $1 million? And they had the van and cars and balloons and all that stuff. Do you remember that?
I remember him. Well, yeah, quite clearly. Yes, he did. I mean, he used to be involved with the surprise element of knocking on people's doors, and they'd see him and they'd all start shouting because they knew they'd won the clearinghouse prize.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely vivid in my memory that he did this.
But there's some
people promoted a clearinghouse quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
TV advertisements and all sorts of things.
But then some people out there say it never happened.
Well, apparently it hasn't happened. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that apparently hasn't happened. I remember the eyepiece on the Monopoly game. Absolutely. I remember Jiffy Peanut Butter. Oh, I'm sorry, Jif. And it's not Jiffy. I remember Kit Kat having a hyphen in the name. I remember all sorts of things that don't seem to be right now. And what gets me is with these Mandela effects is so many people remember it wrongly, supposedly, but we all remember it wrongly the same way. Why is that?
I find that strange.
Yeah, it is strange, and I think these are glitches. These are, and whether they're caused by natural causes, an imperfect simulation program, or people from the future making alterations in the timeline all the time, and these things have side effects that ripple out from those changes, and they might be minor, as with the Kit Kat having a hyphen or not. But I think this is not uncommon. I think it's happening all the time. But you have to understand, if we're downstream from this change, then we're part of what's changed. So a lot of us don't remember it. The amazing thing is that some of us do remember it. Some of us do get it. And there's other glitches, too. There was a coin found in Mexico City. They dug it up on a construction site. It was old. It was worn. They had a hard time reading it. But it clearly said Nueva Alemania. And I believe the year on it was 2039 printed on it. Now, Nueva Alemania means New Germany.
Oh, yeah.
The coin was in German. They found it in Mexico, and it was obviously old. It was obviously, you know, had suffered erosion of the surface features. But those the date and that Nueva Alemania are quite clear.
Didn't it have the swastika on it?
I'm sorry?
Didn't it have a swastika on it?
I honestly don't want to say yes or no to that because I don't remember whether it did or not. So I wouldn't want to say. I would guess it might, but I'm not sure.
Because I read an article about it, and they showed a picture, supposedly, of it, and it had a swastika on it. So I don't know.
Yeah, now, there was a village called Nueva Alemania. It was German-occupied. The Germans, a lot of them, went there. But there's never been any report that they actually had their own currency and their own coins. And also, why would it have the date 2039 on it when we're not even in 2039 yet? So this is strange. There are tantalizing clues and hints all over the place about this sort of thing. We remember people in history wrong in a lot of cases. And the weird part is it goes further. You can now get online under the Freedom of Information Act. There is a treasure trove of CIA documents. And these documents include people that they had hired to record historical events, to write them up. And some of these papers actually have two completely different versions of how the event turned out. And these are in the archives of the CIA, and no one can understand how that can be or why that is.
And that's what I find puzzling. Philadelphia experiment. Now, I've done a lot of research on it. To me, that ship was actually given to another country after the war, supposedly. But it contradicts what everybody has said about the Philadelphia experiment. Did you think that actually happened?
I've researched that pretty thoroughly, and my only problem with the Philadelphia experiment is that it dates back to just one man who claimed this. And now I need more corroborating evidence. I think it's intriguing, but I would need more evidence than just one person say so, because the logs of the ship don't match anything that he said. The dates and times that he said it appeared in Philadelphia and other places, there's no record of the ship having been in those places that time or anyone seeing them there or it being out of place in any way. So I have a hard – and yet there's, again, tantalizing evidence that it might be true. But it's hard to say, really. There just isn't enough evidence for me to be convinced of it yet. You know, I'm kind of a hard science kind of guy.
Well, could have maybe that it caused a time war for a drift or whatever, that maybe it did happen, just like we have time slips. Maybe.
Well, it could be that whatever they did caused a branch in the universe, and it went off one way and we went off another. So, again, you have people or person with a memory of it happening a certain way, but it can't be corroborated because history is fundamentally altered after the cause itself. So, again, you have probability waves, one branching one way, one branching another, and we're in one branch, and what happened is in another branch. That could be true, too. I don't discount the idea at all. I have an open mind about it. I just am not thoroughly convinced.
Yeah, that I find that so interesting, you know, the whole thing about it. I remember listening on Art Bell's show when he was being interviewed, you know, about him and his so-called brother being on the ship and everything. And I'll tell you that, he had a good mind. If he did lie about it, and, you know, he wrote a book about it, and if it did happen or didn't happen, that's the whole thing. Just like me with my two sons, we went into this cafe. Did it actually happen? They remember it to a T. I remember it.
Oh, I think it happened. Yeah. I think it happened to that the two couples in France in 1989, and I think it happens quite often. How do we explain some guy falling on his face and simply fading from view, never to be seen again? How do we account for this stuff? Something's going on. The universe is not the nice, tidy, safe place that we thought it was. In fact, it may be just the opposite.
They could be. It could be a total nightmare. How about all these people who claim that they're time travelers? There was another one here just recently. And then before that, there was one at, hey, I got pictures to prove that I'm a time traveler. Why would they have photographs 100 or 200 years from now be using, you know, film and, mm-hmm. and printing? I didn't buy that one.
And all the streets were empty, and he couldn't account for that. And so someone thinks that the pictures were taken, and it looked remarkably the same as it does now. And people think the picture was taken, like, early in the morning or something. But, there's that one channel on YouTube that does all these and promotes them. And they had a 16-year-old boy, I think it was, in a basement who said he was from the future. And he said Trump was going to be reelected. This was a few years back. It wasn't. You had the case of trying to think of the man's name that was so famous back in the 90s that was online. And
It starts with a T. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, it starts with a T, and I can't think of
it. James, you've got a good memory. Who was it?
What was it? Say it again, the question.
The guy, time traveler.
A guy who claimed to be a time traveler in the 90s.
Twitter, what was it?
Al Bielek.
No, Al Bielek wrote a book. I'm talking about a guy that claimed he was a time traveler. And if you go time traveler, search it on the internet, it'll pop up. And I know his name started with a T. And somebody out there, if they remember.
And, of course, that was disproven, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, at least it was disproven to my satisfaction. He claimed to have come back in time. And he made all these predictions. None of the predictions worked out. And then, of course, after the fact, he began to say, well, his just being there and telling people altered the future. Yeah. And then it turned out that his brother was involved, and it was in Florida. And then they trademarked the thing, and they wrote several books on it. So I didn't buy it. And, you know, for the life of me, my mind's a blank. I cannot think of that man's name.
Well, if anybody on chat can remember who it is or can go on and check real quick on the internet, this was in the 80s, late 80s, I believe, or early 90s. And he was all over the internet, giving predictions of what the future was going to be, right down to a major war and everything. Unfortunately, it was like Ed Dames, you know, the guy who does remote viewing. I'm still waiting for the kill shot. And, you know, there's a lot of people who want their 5 minutes of fame out there. You know that, Rob. I think Rob just went into another portal.
He went into another time warp.
Yeah.
Hope he comes back out.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But anyway, James, I'm surprised you don't remember who the guy's name was.
I know. I must not have read much on it. I think I faintly know who it is, but I can't get it to come to my brain, which is now you're going to drive me batty all night trying to think.
Well, I remember it started with a T, but that's all I remember.
Yeah, I want to say Tellinger or something, but I know that.
Traitor, Tintor, or something.
Yeah, almost said it. John Teeter. Teeter.
Teeter, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about that back thing for your back to, you know, straighten your back out. We're talking about he was making these predictions about the future, and unfortunately, none of those were accurate either.
No, and again, he said it was because his being there altered time, and so it changed the future. And it turned out, though, that – did I tell you all this already, or was I –
No, I don't think so. Maybe you stepped in a time warp yourself right there.
Yeah, I think so. I'm having a time warp. But I've been so busy trying to think of the guy's name. It's really bugging me because he's in one of my books. I wrote an article about him in one of my books. But I think he was a hoax. I really do. All the evidence seems to point to that.
Unfortunately, I hate to say it, a lot of these subjects, I mean, again, you know, maybe if you talk about it, it can change the whole timeline too, couldn't it?
Yes, it could. You know, I love that thing where they posted on Facebook or somewhere, you're all invited to a party at my house last Thursday. It was meant for time travelers. Or a conference or something, but nobody showed up, so that didn't work. But then if I were a time traveler trying to keep my cover, I certainly wouldn't attend one of those things.
I'm just wondering, if you went, you know, into the future from the past or from the future and going back in the past, I'm just wondering if that could change society as we know it. Could we end up in a nuclear war? Could we end up in a polar shift or anything? I mean, just by going back and causing a rift in time.
I'm not sure that it would, because, again, quantum theorists think it simply creates a different branch where whatever you did would happen in that branch, but your timeline would be intact. It would have to be, because if you wiped yourself out in the future, you wouldn't be able to go back in the past to change things. So you'd have that awful paradox loop. So I'm kind of go with the branching idea.
But can
I ask you? But of course, we might be a branch, and we probably are. Everything's branching and branching and branching again. There's one theory that your mind, your consciousness, on a daily basis is traveling through multiple parallel universes, worlds, where everything is identical except you made a different decision. If you'd made the other decision, the timeline would have gone another way.
So that time when I was like 18 years old and I went out and bought a Ford instead of a Chevy, in a different timeline, I could have went out and actually bought that Chevy.
Or not bought anything.
Or I could have bought a Rambler.
Or been killed on the way there. Or changed your mind and decided on a motorcycle. If everything is probability waves, and everything that's possible must happen. So there would be an infinity of parallel universes where every possible scenario played out. So there'd be an infinity of you all making every possible decision.
That's scary.
There'd be an incredible number of timelines stretching into the future where you made different decisions and went different routes. It may be that we don't have to change our timeline or move forward and backward in it, that it's happening all the time, that every possibility is playing out, that somewhere everything that can happen is happening.
Boy. Yeah, I wish I had more than an hour here tonight. How can they find you? I know you have a website, and you have a new book that's going to be released.
It's a blog site. It's robshelsky.blogspot.com. And as far as my books go, they can get those on Amazon in print or in Kindle. If they want other versions of e-book, they can go to Smashwords, or they can go to the various publishers like Permuted Press, Simon & Schuster. There's a whole bunch of them. But my advice, like I always say, just Google Shelsky and it'll all come up.
it does. Hey, Rob, my friend, I want to thank you for coming on. Try to stay out of trouble, will you?
Well, in this timeline, yes.
Yeah. Could you imagine having the world's worst mother-in-law? And in another timeline, you have the world's best. I don't know. Okay, Rob.
In a case like that, I'd probably end up committing murder in one of those timelines. So there you go.
Yeah, me too. Okay, my friend, you take care.
You too, sir. Thank
you. Okay, bye. Well, on our next show on Thursday, we got Ed Roman back, who in Canada is one of the top folk singers. And we have Joe Taylor. We're going to be talking about climate changes and prehistoric animals and more. That, well, what maybe made these animals go extinct, besides maybe an asteroid slamming into the world. And then later in the week on Friday, James, who do we have?
Well, on Friday, we have Mr. Gary Heseltine, and he's going to be from the UK, 50 years of UFO research, and boy, he's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. So we got some good shows coming up. So, yeah, again, it's very important. If you didn't subscribe to our YouTube channel, please do. Just hit the subscribe button on it. Tell your friends about it, because we're trying to build up the channel. You know, it's not like, well, on the internet, we got between 3 and 6 million listeners. YouTube, we got 400 and some, and we're trying to build that up. And a couple people have been asking me lately, what is wrong with my voice? Well, I went in for oral surgery, and it went wrong last week. And my mouth is still hurting, and it's hard to say certain words because it's still swollen. And again, I just want to say to Tom Davis out there with Metatron Power and Light, my heart goes out to you, my friend. I'm sorry for your loss of your wife. You know, I know it has really affected you, and all I can say is it will get better in time. It'll never go away. It'll never go away. I'm still every day thinking of my two sons, Kevin Anderson and Scotty Anderson, that I lost, and they're in my heart every moment. So, again, if you can send prayers out to Tom, that would be really awesome of all you guys. CD and t-shirts will be going out the next day or two to the people who want it. Well, to Thursday, when we have Ed Romans and Joe Taylor back on. Everybody have a good one. We will catch you later.